evening. My name is Al Whitney. Welcome to In Defense of Humanity on this seventh day of January 2017. This is the first show of the new year. This program is about helping people reawaken to the wonderful qualities of our own species while accepting and understanding that the current corporate commercial legal structure, both government and business is built upon, is actively seeking to take control of most organic life forms on our planet. Restoring our unalienable rights and preserving our planet will require that we, the people, understand what has happened and learn how to empower ourselves as living men and women. Much of the information discussed on this show can be found on my website, anticorruptionsociety.com. After the program, I'll post links on the IDH program links page to some of the materials we talk about tonight. If you need to remind yourself why humanity is worth defending, please read and enjoy the In Defense of Humanity page listed at the top of the Anti-Corruption Society website. I'd like to make new listeners aware that there is a free people's empowerment guide to our corporate commercial legal system on my website called Lawfully Yours. It is a collaboration of many men and women in the legal accountability movement. You can locate it by clicking on the Lawfully Yours tab at the top of my homepage. Our guide has now been viewed 50,000 times since it was posted in 2014, and it's now in its ninth edition. This guide contains valuable strategies for challenging the non-existent authority of our corporate government. Also, I have started weekly talk show calls. I've been busy lately, and I haven't had them for the last several weeks. So I think it's best if you'd like to listen into those calls and ask questions. They're basically, it's all designed to allow people to discuss the strategies in Lawfully Yours. If you go to the anticorruptionsociety.com website, you will look and see a banner in the upper right side as you scroll down. It's the talk show banner. If you click on that, it takes you directly to the talk show call. And there are some recordings, and they're listed. If you scroll down, you can still hear them. They keep those, I don't know, forever, I guess. And you can listen to some of them. I have listed them by topic. And I'm trying to go through, ultimately, I'd like to go through all the strategies that are in the Lawfully Yours guides, talk about the strategy, and invite people to call in with any questions or comments they may have. But because things are really hectic here right now, you might want to just check it to see when I schedule a new call. I'm not sure about this coming week. As soon as I can get everything under control here, I'd like to get back on the schedule, though. So that's why there haven't been calls in a couple weeks. The holidays always throw me off. Well, tonight we're going to go back to one of the most important topics I think we talk about. And I think it's so important because so few people are talking about it. Everybody's talking about government corruption. People are talking about Agenda 21. People are talking about the vaccine issue and the GMO food issue and all kinds of issues. And they seem to be forgetting, okay, those who make the laws control everything. If you can make it legal or illegal, you're in control of everything. And very few people are talking about lawyers. They're not talking about those who write the laws, the judges who enforce the laws. These are the ones that are absolutely responsible for what we see today, why there's regulations, how we get fined for this, that, or the other. All of this stuff is written by lawyers. In fact, when a bill is proposed, and I know this for a fact, I know two people who were actually involved in this. They were advocacy groups, and they drafted legislation, and they were not, it's not that they were not smart. They were smart. They drafted legislation. They even managed to get somebody to kind of sponsor the legislation. But by the time the lawyers got it and translated it into UCC language, the whole intent of the legislation was gone. And this is what happens all the time, because the lawyers have to put it into the system so it's compatible with their system. The lawyers are the ones who write these laws, not the politicians. People think it's all the politicians. Oh, no. When you read them, once they get done, that is not your average representative or senator in your state who got elected who wrote that. That was written by bar attorneys. So I want to revisit Fred Rodel. We did a show about Fred last October. We played some, I believe, of his chapter 7 in his book, Woe Unto You Lawyers. Now, this book was written in 1939. Fred Rodel was a law professor, and he wrote the book not for lawyers. He wrote the book for the general population to warn them about lawyers. It's an amazing book. Sadly, the legal system and the lawyers, nothing has improved since. So this book is just as timely. Okay, according to the legal... Oh, hold on. Did I miss something? Okay. It's just as timely today as when he wrote it, in fact, more so. There are more laws, there are more rules, there are more regulations, and there's lawyers in the room who write all of it. So Fred told the truth, and we're going to share what Fred had to say. We've got two chapters, one and chapter two, that I'd love people to hear. The book is free. You can get it online, but some people like to hear it as well. And this guy who reads it does an excellent job. So I'm going to share with you chapter one. We'll go through that, and Ken will pause it for breaks. And after that, we'll move on to chapter two. Together, they take about 65, 66 minutes. But let's start with chapter one, Ken. This is Fred Rodel's book called Woe Unto You Lawyers.
I'm Gordon Comstock. This is the Ministry of Truth. And we're going to get into some more stuff you're not supposed to know. This is part one of the book, Woe Unto You Lawyers, by Fred Rodel, from 1939. Guess what? It's out of print. You guessed it. Yeah. As we go through it, you're going to realize more and more, well, there's a reason it's out of print, like the other out-of-print books I've turned into audiobooks before. All right, here goes. Woe Unto You Lawyers, Fred Rodel, Chapter 1, Modern Medicine Men. Quote, the law is a sort of hocus-pocus science, unquote. Charles Macklin, 18th century dramatist. In tribal times, there were the medicine men. In the Middle Ages, there were the priests. Today, there are the lawyers. For every age, a group of bright boys, learned in their trades and jealous of their learning, who blend technical competence with plain and fancy hocus-pocus to make themselves masters of their fellow men. For every age, a pseudo-intellectual autocracy guarding the tricks of its trade from the uninitiated and running, after its own pattern, the civilization of its day. It is the lawyers who run our civilization for us, our governments, our business, our private lives. Most legislators are lawyers. They make our laws. Most presidents, governors, commissioners, along with their advisors and brain trusters, are lawyers. They administer our laws. All the judges are lawyers. They interpret and enforce our laws. There is no separation of powers where the lawyers are concerned. There is only a concentration of all government power in the lawyers. As the schoolboy put it, ours is, quote, a government of lawyers, not of men, unquote. It is not the businessmen, no matter how big, who run our economic world. Again, it is the lawyers. The lawyers who, quote-unquote, advise and direct every time a company is formed, every time a bond or a share of stock is issued, almost every time material is to be bought or goods to be sold, every time a deal is made. The whole elaborate structure of industry and finance is a lawyer-made house. We all live in it, but the lawyers run it. And in our private lives, we cannot buy a home or rent an apartment. We cannot get married or try to get divorced. We cannot die and leave our property to our children without calling on the lawyers to guide us. To guide us, incidentally, through a maze of confusing gestures and formalities that lawyers have created. Objection may be raised immediately that there is nothing strange or wrong about this. If we did not carry on our government and business and private activities in accordance with reasoned rules of some sort, we would have chaos, or else a reversion to brute force as the arbiter of men's affairs. True, but beside the point. The point is that it is the lawyers who make our rules, and a whole civilization that follows them or disregards them at its peril. Yet the tremendous majority of the men who make up that civilization and are not lawyers pay little heed to how and why the rules are made. They do not ask, they scarcely seem to care, which rules are good and which are bad, which are a help and which a nuisance, which are useful to society and which are useful only to the lawyers. They shut their eyes and leave to the lawyers the running of a large part of their lives. Of all the specialized skills abroad in the world today, the average man knows least about the one that affects him the most, about the thing that lawyers call the law. A man who will discourse at length about the latest cure for streptococcus infection, or describe in detail his allergic symptoms, cannot begin to tell you what happened to him legally, and plenty did, when he got married. A man who would not dream of buying a car without an intricate and illustrated description of its mechanical workings will sign a lease without knowing what more than four of its 44 clauses mean, or why they are there. A man who will not hesitate to criticize or disagree with a trained economist or an expert in any one of a dozen fields of learning will follow, unquestioning and meek, whatever advice his lawyer gives him. Normal human skepticism and curiosity seem to vanish entirely whenever the layman encounters the law. There are several reasons for this mass submission. One is the average man's fear of the unknown and of policemen. The law combines the threat of both. A non-lawyer confronted by the law, is like a child faced by a pitch-dark room. Merciless judges lurk there, ready to jump out at him. Parentheses. Ignorance of the law is no defense. End parentheses. Cowed and perforce trusting, he takes his lawyer's hand, not knowing what false step he might make unguided, nor what punishment might then lie in wait for him. He does not dare display either skepticism or disrespect when he feels that the solemn voice of the lawyer, telling him what he must or may not do, is backed by all the mighty and mysterious forces of law and order from the Supreme Court on down to the cop on the corner. Then, too, every lawyer is just about the same as every other lawyer. At least, he has the same thing to sell, even though it comes in slightly different models and at varying prices. The thing he has to sell is the law. And it is as useless to run from one lawyer to another in the hope of finding something better, or something different, or something that makes more common sense, as it would be useless to run from one Ford dealer to another if there were no Chevrolets or Plymouths or even bicycles on the market. There is no brand competition or product competition in the lawyer's trade. The customer has to take the law or nothing. And if the customer should want to know a little more about what he's buying, buying in direct fees or indirect fees or taxes, the lawyer need have no fear of losing business to someone else if they just plain refuse to tell. Yet lawyers can, and often do, talk about their product without telling anything about it at all. And that fact involves one of the chief reasons for the non-lawyer's persistent ignorance about the law. Briefly, the law is carried on in a foreign language. Not that it deals, as do medicine and mechanical engineering, with physical phenomena and instruments which need special words to describe them, simply because there are no other words. On the contrary, law deals almost exclusively with the ordinary facts and occurrences of everyday business and government and living. But it deals with them in a jargon which completely baffles and befuddles the ordinary literate man who has no legal training to serve him as a trot. Some of the language of the law is built out of Latin or French words, or out of old English words which, but for the law, would long ago have fallen into disuse.
Extendivite, a seven-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite. Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more, plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Street brawl means nothing to a lawyer until it has been translated into a felony, a misdemeanor, or a tort. And any of those words, when used by a lawyer, may mean nothing more than a common street brawl. Much of the language of the law is built out of perfectly respectable English words, which have been given a queer and different and exclusively legal meaning. When a lawyer speaks, for instance, of quote-unquote consideration, he is definitely not referring to kindness. All of the language of the law is such, as Mr. Dooley once put it, that a statute which reads like a stone wall to the layman becomes, for the corporation lawyer, a triumphal arch. It is, in short, a language that nobody but a lawyer understands, or could understand, if we are to take the lawyer's word for it. For one of the most revealing things about the lawyer's trade is the unanimous inability or unwillingness or both on the part of the lawyers to explain their brand of professional pig Latin to men who are not lawyers. A doctor can and will tell you what a metatarsus is and where it is and why it's there and, if necessary, what's wrong with it. A patient electrician can explain, to the satisfaction of a medium-grade mentality, how a dynamo works. But try to pin down a lawyer, any lawyer, on quote-unquote jurisdiction, or quote-unquote proximate cause, or quote-unquote equitable title. Words which he tosses off with authority and apparent familiarity, and which are part of his regular stock in trade. Now, if he does not dismiss your question summarily with, quote, "You're not a lawyer, you wouldn't understand," unquote, he will disappear into a cloud of legal jargon, perhaps descending occasionally to the level of a non-legal abstraction, or to the scarcely more satisfactory explanation that something is so because the law says that it is so. That is where you are supposed to say, quote, "I see," unquote. It is this fact more than any other, the fact that lawyers can't or won't tell what they are about in ordinary English, that is responsible for the hopelessness of the non-lawyer in trying to cope with or understand the so-called science of law. For the lawyer's trade is a trade built entirely on words. And so long as the lawyers carefully keep to themselves the key to what those words mean, the only way the average man can find out what is going on is to become a lawyer, or at least to study law himself, all of which makes it very nice and very secure for the lawyers. Of course, any lawyer will bristle or snort with derision at the idea that what he deals in is just words. He deals, he will tell you, in propositions, concepts, fundamental principles, in short, in ideas. The reason a non-lawyer gets lost in the law is that his mind has not been trained to think logically about abstractions, whereas the lawyer's mind has been so trained. Hence, the lawyer can leap lightly and logically from one abstraction to another, or narrow down a general proposition to apply to a particular case with an agility that leaves the non-lawyer bewildered and behind. It is a pretty little picture. Yet, it is not necessary to go into semantics to show that it is a very silly little picture. No matter what lawyers deal in, the thing they deal with is exclusively the stuff of living.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and, of course, you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at NumanaRepublic.com. That's NumanaRepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies.
About 6 years ago, I was diagnosed with congestive heart failure. I went from being able to work 14, 16 hours a day with no problem to where I could barely walk a block to the store without having to stop and rest. I went on to the phytonutrients about 6 months ago, and within a couple of months, my medical doctor had cut my prescriptions down in a little bit smaller dosage. The next time I went back a month later, I walked into the doctor's office, and he said, "My gosh, what's happened to you? You don't even look like the same person." He looked at my legs, and the swelling had gone down. My blood pressure was down. The venous stasis ulcers that I had had on my legs for the last 4 or 5 years because of the poor circulation were all healed, and I'm feeling far better.
Call now to find out how to get your free month supply of Balance of Nature. Call 800-246-8751. or go online to balanceofnature.com.
Use promo code TSL.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
When a government wants to collect money and a rich man does not want to pay it, when a company wants to fire a worker and the worker wants to keep his job, when an automobile driver drives down a pedestrian and the pedestrian says it was the driver's fault and the driver says it wasn't, these things are living facts, not airy abstractions. And the only thing that matters about the law is the way it handles these facts and a million others. The point is that legal abstractions mean nothing at all until they are brought down to earth. Once brought down to earth, once applied to physical facts, the abstractions become nothing but words, words by which lawyers describe and justify the things that lawyers do. Lawyers would always like to believe that the principles they say they work with are something more than a complicated way of talking about simple, tangible, non-legal matters. But they are not. Thus, the late Justice Holmes was practically a traitor to this trade when he said, as he did say, quote, "General propositions do not decide concrete cases," unquote. To dismiss the abstract principles of the law as being no more, in reality, than high-sounding combinations of words may, in one sense, be a trifle confusing. Law, in action, does, after all, amount to the application of rules to human conduct. And rules may be said to be, inevitably, abstractions themselves. But there is a difference, and a big one. Quote, "Anyone who spits on this platform will be fined $5, unquote, is a rule and, in a sense, an abstraction. Yet, it is easily understood. It needs no lawyer to interpret it. And it applies simply and directly to a specific factual thing. But, quote, "anyone who willfully and maliciously spits on this platform will be fined $5, unquote, is an abstraction of an entirely different color. The law has sneaked into the rule in the words, quote, willfully and maliciously, unquote. Those words have no real meaning outside of lawyers' minds until someone who spits on the platform is or is not fined $5. And they have none afterward until someone else spits on the platform and does or does not get fined. The whole of the law, its concepts, its principles, its propositions, is made up of quote-unquote willfullies and quote-unquote maliciouslies, of words that cannot possibly be pinned down to a precise meaning, and that are, in the last analysis, no more than words. As a matter of fact, the bulk of the law is made up of words with far less apparent relation to reality than willfully or maliciously. And you can look through every bit of the law, criminal law, business law, government law, family law, without finding a single rule that makes as much simple sense as, quote, anyone who spits on this platform will be fined $5, unquote. That, of course, is why a non-lawyer can never make rhyme or reason out of a lawyer's attempted explanation of the way the law works. The non-lawyer wants the whole business brought down to earth. The lawyer cannot bring it down to earth without, in so doing, leaving the law entirely out of it. To say that the Wagner Labor Act was held valid because 5 out of the 9 judges on the Supreme Court approved of it personally, or because they thought it wiser policy to uphold it than risk further presidential agitation for a change in the membership of the court, to say this is certainly not to explain the law of the case. Yet to say this makes a great deal more sense to the layman and comes a great deal closer to the truth than does the legal explanation that the act was held valid because it constituted a proper exercise of Congress's power to regulate interstate commerce. You can probe the words of that legal explanation to their depths and bolster them with other legal propositions dating back 150 years, and they will still mean, for all practical purposes, exactly nothing. There is no more pointed demonstration of the chasm between ordinary human thinking and the mental processes of the lawyer than in the almost universal reaction of law students when they first encounter the law. They come to law school a normally intelligent, normally curious, normally receptive group. Day in, day out, they are subjected to the legal lingo of judges, textbook writers, professors, those learned in the law. But for months, none of it clicks. There seems to be nothing to take hold of. These students cannot find anywhere in their past knowledge or experience a hook on which to hang all this strange talk of quote-unquote mens rea and quote-unquote fee simple and quote-unquote due process and other unearthly things. Long and involved explanations in lectures and law books only make it all more confusing. The students know that law eventually deals with extremely practical matters, like buying land and selling stock and putting thieves in jail, but all that they read and hear seems to stem not only from a foreign language, but from a strange and foreign way of thinking. Eventually, their confusion, founded though it is in stubborn and healthy skepticism, is worn down. Eventually, they succumb to the barrage of principles and concepts and all the metaphysical refinements that go with them. And once they have learned to talk the jargon, once they have forgotten their recent insistence on matter-of-factness, once they have begun to glory in their own agility at that mental hocus-pocus that had them befuddled a short while ago, then they have become, in the most important sense, lawyers. Now they, too, have joined the select circle of those who can weave a complicated intellectual riddle out of something so mundane as a strike or an automobile accident. Now it will be hard, if not impossible, ever to bring them back to that disarmingly direct way of thinking about the problems of people and society which they used to share with the average man before they fell in with the lawyers and swallowed the law. Learning the lawyer's talk and lawyer's way of thinking, learning to discuss the pros and cons of, say, pure food laws in terms of, quote, affectation with a public interest, unquote, as against, quote, interference with freedom of contract, unquote, is very much like learning to work cryptograms or play bridge. It requires concentration and memory and some analytic ability, and for those who become proficient, it can be a stimulating intellectual game. Yet those who work cryptograms or play bridge never pretend that their mental efforts, however difficult and involved, have any significance beyond the game they are playing. Whereas those who play the legal game not only pretend, but insist that their intricate ratiocinations in the realm of pure thought have a necessary relation to the solution of practical problems. It is through the medium of their weird and wordy mental gymnastics that the lawyers lay down their rules under which we live. And it is only because the average man cannot play their game, and so cannot see for himself how intrinsically empty of meaning their playthings are, that the lawyers continue to get away with it. The legal trade, in short, is nothing but a high-class racket. It is a racket far more lucrative and more powerful and hence more dangerous than any of those minor and much publicized rackets, such as ambulance chasing or the regular defense of known criminals, which make up only a tiny part of the law business, and against which the respectable members of the bar are always making speeches and taking action. John W. Davis, when he exhorts in court, in the name of God and justice and the Constitution, and incidentally for a fee, not to let the federal government regulate holding companies, is playing the racket for all it is worth. So is a Justice Sutherland when he solemnly forbids a state to impose an inheritance tax on the ground that the transfer, an abstraction, of the right to get dividends, another abstraction, did not take place geographically inside the taxing state. And so, for that matter, are all the Corcorans and the Cohens and Thurman Arnolds and the rest, whose chief value to the New Deal lies not in their political views, nor even in their administrative ability, but rather in their adeptness at manipulating the words of the law, so as to make things sound perfectly proper, which other lawyers, by manipulating different words in a different way, maintain are terribly improper. The legal racket knows no political or social limitations. Furthermore, the lawyers, or at least 99.44% of them, are not even aware that they are indulging in a racket, and would be shocked at the very mention of the idea. Once bitten by the legal bug, they lose all sense of perspective about what they are doing and how they are doing it. Like the medicine men of tribal times and the priests of the Middle Ages, they actually believe in their own nonsense. This fact, of course, makes their racket all the more insidious. Consecrated fanatics are always more dangerous than conscious villains. The lawyers are fanatics, indeed, about the sacredness of the word magic they call the law. Yet the saddest and most insidious fact about the legal racket is that the general public doesn't realize it's a racket either. Scared, befuddled, impressed, and ignorant, they take what is fed to them, or rather, what is sold to them. Only once an age do the non-lawyers get, not wise, but disgusted, and rebel. As Harold Lasky is fond of putting it, in every revolution, the lawyers lead the way to the guillotine or the firing squad. It should not, however, require a revolution to rid society of lawyer control. Nor is riddance by revolution ever likely to be a permanent solution. The American colonists had scarcely freed themselves from the nuisances of the law by practically ostracizing the pre-revolutionary lawyers out of their communities, a fact which is little appreciated, when a new and homemade crop of lawyers sprang up to take over the affairs of the baby nation. That crop, 150 years later, is still growing in numbers and in power. What is really needed to put the lawyers in their places and out of the seats of the mighty is no more than a slashing of the veil of dignified mystery that now surrounds and protects the law. If people could be made to realize how much of the vaunted majesty of the law is a hoax, and how many of the mighty processes of the law are merely logical ledger domain, they would not long let their lawyers lead them around by the nose. And people have recently begun, bit by bit, to catch on. The great illusion of the law has been leaking a little at the edges. There was President Roosevelt's plan to add to the membership of the Supreme Court in order to get different decisions. Even those who opposed the plan, and they, of course, included almost all the lawyers, recognized, by the very passion of their arguments, that the plan would have been effective. In other words, that by merely changing judges, you could change the highest law of the land. And when the highest law of the land was changed, without even changing judges, when the same nine men said that something was constitutional this year, which had been unconstitutional only last year,
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and of course you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at NumanaRepublic.com. That's NumanaRepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Course, included almost all the lawyers, recognized by the very passion of their arguments that the plan would have been effective. In other words, that by merely changing judges, you could change the highest law of the land. And when the highest law of the land was changed, without even changing judges, when the same nine men said that something was constitutional this year, which had been unconstitutional only last year, then even the most credulous of laymen began to wonder a little about the immutability of the law. It did not add to public awe of the law either, when Thomas Dewey's grandstand prosecution of the Tammany hack was suddenly thrown out of court on a technicality so piddling that every newspaper in New York City raised an editorial howl against a more or less routine application of the law. And such minor incidents as the recent discovery that one of Staten Island's leading law practitioners had never passed a bar examination, and so was not officially a lawyer, do not lend themselves to the law's prestige. Yet, It will take a great deal more than a collection of happenings like these to break down effectively the superstition of the grandeur of the law and the hold which that superstition has on the minds of most men. It will take some understanding of the wordy emptiness and irrelevance of the legal process itself. It will take some cold realization that the inconsistencies and absurdities of the law that occasionally come into the open are not just accidents, but commonplaces. It will take some awakening to the fact that training in the law does not make lawyers wiser than other men, but only smarter. Perhaps an examination of the lawyers and their law, set down in ordinary English, might help achieve these ends. For, despite what the lawyers say, it is possible to talk about legal principles and legal reasoning in everyday, non-legal language. The point is that, so discussed, the principles and the reasoning and the whole solemn business of the law come to look downright silly. And perhaps if the ordinary man could see in black and white how silly and irrelevant and unnecessary it all is, he might be persuaded in a peaceful way to take the control of his civilization out of the hands of those modern purveyors of streamlined voodoo and chromium-plated theology, the lawyers.
Hi, folks. In a world of GMO, genetically modified organisms, that is, chemicals, processed foods, and a healthcare system that's unraveling like a cheap suit, it's time to prepare. God created herbs, and herbs help man. Our body can heal itself, just sometimes we need assistance. You need some help? GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Our mild detox is quite powerful with its unique blend of 8 different herbs. And if you're looking for more, our non-GMO supplements will help you with different needs you might have. Health should be a top priority. Take care of your health naturally. Log on to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Give your body a treat. Let the herbs do their thing naturally. Read all the testimonies on the website. GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Sickness and viruses are like intruders, and herbs are like warriors. Let the tea work for you. That's GetTheTea.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.